beginning a new series today, and I had originally planned to begin this next week, but Brother Kuhn unfortunately had to leave early following the men's conference for a funeral, and so I am I'm going to begin this week, and I am looking forward to what the Lord is going to do and how the Lord is going to work among us. I believe that what we're going to be talking about can be life-changing. And we're going to be talking about small things that change your life. Small things that change your life. It's not always the big things. It's not always the things that we think are earth-shattering that change our lives. Sometimes it's the small decisions, the small things. And so Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6 down to verse number 10. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 down to verse number 10. And while you're finding that, let me just give a little shout out here to all of our nursery volunteers. You know, we have a group of ladies that volunteer on Sunday mornings to be downstairs in the nursery, and sometimes they're kind of like unsung heroes. And so to all of those who do that, and I see some of them who are here in the service today, thank you. Give them a good hand, would you? Now, I'm not going to try and call names because I will miss somebody, but you who serve in the nursery, you know who you are, and so that clap was for you. And also, if you are would like to have a place to serve, we do need more volunteers for the nursery, and you'll be serving, what is it, once every 5 or 6 weeks. So if you can help with that, if you'd like to help, see my wife, and she'll be happy to give you the details. And you do have to be able to pass a criminal background check. So I think that's pretty much everybody. And so because we do want to protect our children. And so I think that's important to know that all of our children's workers have to be vetted, and they all have to pass background checks and everything else. To ensure that our children are safe. And so if you'd like to serve, see my wife. And I think everybody knows who she is. She'll be standing back at the door with me following the service, and she'll be happy to give you the details that you need. Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. Let's get into it. Then he answered, read with me, and he spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." And our subject today is just small things that change your life. Small things. I thought you'd like that picture. Because if there's anything that will change your life, it's having a baby. And so small things that change your life. Those of you who have had young children or have young children, you remember what it was like when you could sleep through the night entirely? When all you had to worry about getting ready was you? Remember those days? So, small things that change your life. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for your touch today. Thank you for your hand at work among us. And I pray that you will speak into our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that more than just a message, Lord, that this, Lord, will be a word for somebody here today that will challenge, Lord, that will inspire, encourage, or even correct. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And today, I'm beginning a series, as I mentioned, Small Things That Change Your Life. We're going to focus on the fact that succeeding at big things has a lot to do with little things. Our thoughts, and we're going to be looking at these in upcoming weeks, our thoughts, our words, our actions, small things that change your life. Sometimes, when we look at the lives of people around us, people who we think have it more together than we do, it can intimidate you. I've talked to even Christians who, perhaps new believers who come in and they say, well, you know what, I feel like I'm just not there. I look at somebody else and I think, wow, I could never be like them. And we get intimidated. But what's really important is sometimes we think I've got to do big things to get big results. When quite often it's the small things that we do that turn into the big results we want. And here's a key thought we're going to be looking at throughout this series. And that is, it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. It's often the small things that nobody sees that results in the big things everyone wants. And if there's a big idea in all of this series, it's this. Small things that no one sees result in the big things that everyone wants. And that's our key thought for the series. You know, you might look at somebody and say, wow, they have a great relationship with God. They walk in the Spirit. They're so in tune. Just look at them and look at how together they are. And you think, well, that takes really huge decisions. But I've come here to share with you that it's more likely that what got them to where they are was a series of small decisions that led them in the right direction. Our scripture in Zechariah chapter 4, let me give you the context of that. When this was written, the temple had been destroyed. There wasn't a stone left. It was just a mess. And God's people were in captivity in a foreign land. It was a low point in their history. And in the middle of it, they didn't have a house of God for the Jewish faith. It was very important. They would pray towards Jerusalem, towards the temple where God dwelt. And it was extremely important for them. They weren't in the place where they were supposed to be. The people were depressed. They thought, Lord, how can this possibly be? How could you let this happen? Then in 537 before Christ, a man named Zerubbabel led a group of people back to Israel. And for the first time in generations, there was hope. There was hope that they were coming back to the land that they were supposed to live in. There was hope they were going to rebuild Jerusalem. There was hope that the temple would once more stand. 18 years after they began, God spoke to Zerubbabel and said, I'm going to give you power to rebuild the temple. You're going to get this done. And I want you to look with me at verse number 6. And this is in the New Living. It'll be on the screen behind me. The Lord spoke to Zerubbabel, and this was a big task. You see, those who had been left behind in Israel were the poorest of the poor. There was no finance. A big job. And God spoke to Zerubbabel, and maybe he'll use this scripture to speak to you today about something that you're facing within your life right now. Look at this. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It's not by force, and it's not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Said Zerubbabel, I'm giving you a big task. I'm giving you a big job to do. But I want you to know that you're not going to be in it by yourself. You're not going to walk through the decisions by yourself. You're not going to lay one stone on top of another by yourself. You're not going to have to convince people to buy in by yourself. It's not going to be by might or by strength. Or as the New Living says, by force or by strength. But it's going to be by my spirit. Maybe you're here today and you're facing some big things within your life. Do you know that God's word to you in the New Testament remains the same? That you do not have to walk through it alone. But it's not by might, that's my strength. It's not by power, that's the things that I can get around me. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord at work in the situation and in your life that the impossible becomes possible. God at work. He's saying, Zerubbabel, the temple's going to get built. There are going to be people that'll say it'll never happen. Do you know when you begin to believe God for big things, there will be people when you share your dream that will say it'll never happen. There'll be those who will rain on your parade just because they like to rain on parades. But the Lord spoke to Zerubbabel and said, this temple is going to be built, and it's going to be built in such a way that you're going to realize that it's going to be by my spirit. It's going to be a God thing. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life when I've tried might. I've tried getting people on my side. I've tried, you know, every scheme, every plan, everything that I can come up with, and I still come to a dead end. Anybody ever done that? Can I get a witness here today that I'm not the only one? I've done that. That's might and power. But you know, there is something about turning things over to God. There's something about taking time to say, God, I want to bring you into this situation. This is not about me anymore. I've had my go at it. And God, I'm turning this over to you right now. And I have discovered that it's when I put it in God's hands that I discover God's peace. It's when I put it in God's hands that all of that frustration begins to melt away. I found that when I put it in God's hands, the answer that I have been scheming and planning. You know, I'm a planner. I don't like to make big decisions without knowing how I'm going to do it. You know, I know there are people, they make decisions just boom, that's it, that's all, they do it, spur of the moment. I like to consider. You know, if it's something that I'm looking at buying, I want to figure, do I have the money to pay for it? That's important. Is it going to meet the need? Is it going to be? I like to plan. My wife can tell you, there are some things that I talk about for a long time before I actually pull the trigger on. I like to do that. I like to figure. Because there are things that you can figure out. But then there are things that I can't figure out. And there are things that I just don't know. And it's then that I discover God's strength, as the New Testament said, is made perfect within my weakness. Because when I'm trying to power through, I'm not giving God an opportunity in my life. But when I come to the point of recognizing my weakness, then I give an opportunity for God to work in the middle of my weakness. And so he told him, it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by strength, by my spirit. See, you can try to change on your own power. You can try to make incremental changes by yourself, and you can. There's some things you can just do. But if you tap into a power that's greater than what you possess, It's when you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in your life that His Spirit is made perfect in your weakness. It's not by your effort and it's not by your might, but by His Spirit He begins to transform you. You know, we've all had those times when we're trying to fix something and we just get bogged down. I've had those times. You know what amazes me? I like to think that, you know, I know my way around a computer. And I do know a bit. But then there have been times that there's been something that's just beyond me, and I turn to one of our resident computer experts and say, fix this. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, boom, it's done. And I'm thinking, do you know how long it took me? Like, do you know how long it took me? How many Google searches it took me? You know? And you know, there's something about it that when that happens, and all of a sudden, you know, a few keystrokes and it's fixed, there's just like that wave of relief that comes over you. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? There's that wave of relief. And, you know, even those of us who are individualistic and feel like we can do it all on our own, it is no weakness to realize you need help. As a matter of fact, true wisdom is knowing what I don't know and knowing what I can't do and being willing to ask for help. And if that's true in the natural, it's also true in the spiritual. True wisdom is knowing when I'm not capable, when I'm not powerful enough, and when I need help. And sometimes that help means asking somebody else, or it means asking God, but it means being willing to ask for help. Look at verse number 7 in our text. He said, New Living Again, nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. The Bible often uses the imagery of mountains to describe problems, to describe trials. He said, nothing's going to stand in his way. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it. In other words, what he is saying is, Zerubbabel, when I tell someone to do something, there's no mountain that can get in the way. There's nothing that's going to stop the power and the will of God from being done. And you'll notice the people shouting. You notice that? May God bless it. May God bless it. I really like from that scripture, you know what I get? That God knows the end from the beginning. And even before the work begins, God already knows how it's going to turn out. And he's saying it's going to be blessing. Look at verse 8 and 9. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple. He will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Now that's powerful. But what you've got to understand is that the early phases of construction went really badly. It was awkward. It went really slowly. I remember when they first dug the hole out here, and they put the forms in place, and I thought, that's really small. Wow. Are we doing the right thing here? How many of you thought it looked really, really small? Yeah, okay, see? It always does. And it was going really slowly, and Ezra was trying to encourage the people, and when people came to the early stages of construction, you know what they did? They cried. They looked at it, and they cried. because there were some of them who remembered what it was like before. And they said, this is not that. And they got discouraged, and they said, this is just a small beginning. This is nothing. Why are we doing this? And Zerubbabel persevered. They were embarrassed by the seemingly small beginning. But look what verse number 10 says. But despise, do not despise, I've got King James in my head, do not despise these small beginnings. Don't despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. What he is saying is, you've got to start somewhere. And sometimes the place where you start is very small. It seems like it's very insignificant. It seems like it'll never make a difference. One of our challenges in our lives, and if you're taking notes, write this down. It'll be on the screen. We look at people and we see their highlight reel. We know our behind the scenes. You know, when you walk into church and you see somebody and they're looking good and they're smiling and they're patting somebody on the back, you're seeing their highlight reel. You don't know that on the way to church this morning, the kids upset chocolate milk in the back seat and they had a discussion with their spouse. And they've got a meeting on Monday morning that they don't want to go into. You're not seeing any of that. You're seeing the highlight reel. Just like when they look at you, they're seeing your highlight reel. Behind the scenes, things get messy. You know, when you watch a movie or a video, what you're seeing is the highlights. You're not seeing the 10 or 15 times that they had to repeat that line over and over and over to get it right. You're not seeing that. You're not seeing where they had to adjust the camera 5 times and change the lights 10 times to get it to shine just right to make it look so romantic. And then you wonder why I can't get it to look like that. You know, you're not seeing, we were walking through downtown Montreal, Oral Montreal, a few years back, and they were shooting a movie, so we stopped to watch for a little bit, you know, you're not seeing when they stop the camera and there are people that run up and they're kind of fluffing the hair and they're doing everything to make it look perfect. You're not seeing behind the scenes in other people's lives. And sometimes because of that, we judge ourselves harshly and we begin to get intimidated. You know, we look at Bible characters and we get intimidated by them. Recently I preached about David. But before David ever faced Goliath, he was out tending sheep, which was the lowest kind of job in the family. He was out tending sheep and he was fending off lions and bears and wolves. That was his job. Before he ever faced Goliath. You know, I want to take down a giant. I really do. I want to take down the giant. But we forget that David, before he ever took down the giant, was taking down the wolf and the fox, and he was tending the sheep and doing what it took just to be faithful. So much so that when David was getting ready to go face Goliath, he said, when I was out tending the sheep, I faced lions and bears, and there was nobody around to help me, and I faced the wolves by myself tending sheep. So stepping up to face Goliath is just one more adversary. You see, the small things that he went through before prepared him for the big giant that he was going to take down. Let me take you a little bit further. Sometimes people look at Ruth and Boaz, one of the great love stories of the Bible. Ruth was faithful to her mother-in-law Naomi when she didn't have to be. It would have been easier for her not to be. She went to a strange country with her mother-in-law to be with her. Remember, Naomi said, go back to your own people and find a husband. She had been married to Naomi's son who died. And she said, go back there and you don't want to be with me. I'm a bitter old woman. That's what she said. She said, they're not even going to call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. That means bitter because I'm angry about life and the way it's turned out for me. She comes back home. They had been living in a foreign country. She comes back home and she tells everybody that she knew, don't call me Naomi anymore. Don't speak to me about blessing anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter because life has been harsh on me. You know, Ruth had been through some things too. Ruth had suffered the loss of her husband. Ruth was now going to a strange country. Your circumstances do not determine who you will be. The decisions that you make about going through things will determine your, I say this often, let me repeat it. Your circumstances can either make you bitter or make you better. The only choice between the two is the one that you make. Naomi comes back bitter. Ruth comes back saying, I'm just going to be there. I'm going to serve. She might be bitter. The Lord has dealt harshly with both of us. We feel like we've lost and we're there. She served. And it was that faithfulness that opened the doors for God's blessing through Boaz, the husband that she would meet. But it didn't start with just meeting Boaz. It started long before that with the small things in life. It was the things that no one saw that resulted in the marriage that everybody wanted. You know, those of you who are here and you're married today, are you thinking about getting married? You know what? Marriage is not about just the big party. You know, the big wedding, and people spend tens of thousands of dollars on weddings, and I'm thinking that's a down payment on a house. And it's a big thing. But successful marriages are not made with the big wedding. Successful marriages are a result of the little things that you invest yourself in day by day. The little things you do. The little things your spouse does for you. You know, a $10 bouquet of flowers, guys. I got one go ahead. And it was a female voice. I picked that out. I don't know who it was, but I picked that out. You know, a $10 bouquet of flowers from IGA or wherever it might be. It doesn't have to be a big thing. And it's not because you did something. You know, here, honey, here's flowers and chocolate. What did you do? No. That doesn't count. That doesn't count. I'm talking about the little things you do just because. You know, you're driving home and you think, wow, I think my wife might like a flower. It's been a while since I bought flowers. My wife might like flowers today. So you stop at even a convenience store if they have them. And you get one of those little bouquets of flowers and you take it home and you say, it's not much, but I'll tell you what. Relationships are built out of small things that build together for big things. You know, on the other side of it, you know, it might be just something that he likes. And it's not because it's a birthday or an anniversary or you did anything. It's just because. Small things build into big things. You know, Daniel. We look at Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. We learn about it in Sunday school. Daniel goes to face the lions because he wouldn't stop praying. If you remember the story, They put him in the lion's den. The king didn't sleep all night, worried about his friend Daniel. And we look at that and say, I want to be like that. I want to have faith that if they put me in the lion's den, that the angel's going to come and stop it, and I'm not going to worry about it. I want you to think about this, though. What kind of faith do you think you would have if, like Daniel, you knelt down and prayed 3 times a day? Long before Daniel got to the lion's den, he developed a pattern in his life. He said, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to pray. And 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night, Daniel prayed. Let me ask you, think back in your life. How often do you really get down to business with God and pray? It's the small things that become the big things. It's the little acts of faith that build to the big ones. Daniel had been preparing for that lion's den for years. He didn't know it was coming. All he knew was, I've got a relationship with God, and I'm going to build my relationship with God with the small things. Let me challenge you here today that the small things in your relationship with God are what build into that strong relationship with God. It's when you determine, I'm going to pray. You know, and please, if you're not in the habit of praying, do not walk out of here and say, I'm going to pray an hour a day. Now, that's great. That's a great goal. But I'll tell you, if you haven't been praying and you decide I'm going to pray for an hour tomorrow, and I'm just going to get down and pray for an hour tomorrow, you are going to pray for everybody you know. You're going to pray for every missionary you can think of. You're going to pray for every world event you can think of. You're going to look at the clock and it's going to be like 10 minutes. Anybody ever done that? Come on, fess up now, fess up. That's what's going to happen. And then you're going to get discouraged. And you're going to say, an hour a day, they're so unrealistic. Like, what would I talk about? So let me challenge somebody here today who hasn't been praying consistently. Start with 10 minutes. And you can do that twice a day, morning and night. Start with 10 minutes. And you can pray, and you come to the end of the 10 minutes, and you say, I did it. And then you can pray at night, and you can pray for the same people, because it never hurts to pray for the same people. And you'll say, I did it. And then after you've done that for a week or two, now we're going to 15 minutes. And you can, little things add up to big things over time. You know, don't start, it's great to read the Bible, but don't start and say, I'm going to read the Bible through this week. It's noble, and if you can do it, praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what will happen. You'll get overwhelmed. But start reading. You know, we have Bible reading charts, and if you feel like even that's too much, start reading one chapter a day. If you're not reading anything, one chapter a day in the New Testament. Don't start with Leviticus. You know, it'll be talking about taking the fat of rams and bulls, and you have to use this hook, and you have to have this thing, and this pot, and you're going to be like, who can understand the Bible anyway? And the other thing is, don't start at Revelation. Okay? People either start the first or the last of a book, usually, and people start at Revelation, and they're reading it, and they're talking about beasts with horns, and they're talking about animals coming out of the sea, and they're talking about women sitting on the sea, and they're like, whoa, what is this? And it's all symbolic. Start with Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. I always recommend the book of Acts. Read a chapter a day. If you read the book of Acts, it'll take you about a month. If you read a chapter a day, 1 month, and you'll be inspired. Little things make a big difference. I came across a quote, and I know our time is getting away. I'm going to try and bring this to a close shortly. It was by a basketball coach, and he's one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time, John Wooden. And on the first practice of the season, when he would bring the players in, they didn't run drills, they didn't run sprints, they didn't practice free throws. His very first practice, here's what he would do. They come in, he tells them to sit down. And he'd say, put your socks on and your shoes. Because what he found was that no one ever thinks about how you put your socks on and how you put your shoes on. Now, some of you are thinking, I can see the expression on your face. You're thinking, he's crazy. Crazy like a fox. And so, first practice was about how you put your socks and your shoes on. You know why? Because what he found was too many players trying out for the team didn't know how to put their socks on properly, and they ended up with blisters following the practice. And so he would take them back to something that was so basic that every one of you sitting here today, most of you are saying, I can't believe that a basketball coach would do that. Who doesn't know how to do that? The point he was making is we are a team, and even the little details matter. You know what? In your life, the little details matter. The little things become the big things, and they make the big things happen. And you're going to hear this a lot. The small things that no one sees often result in the big things that everyone wants. We're going to be talking about words and thoughts and habits. And as we do that, we're going to be focusing on those small things. You know, you might be here today, and it may be that small thing to start praying. Start praying 10 minutes a day. It may be that you're here today and you struggle with faith. The Bible says the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And you know, if I told you to take 10 steps to faith, some of you would be writing them down and then trying to go through them all. Here's a very simple thing. When you read the Bible brings faith into your heart. And you might read it in the King James, you might read it in the New Living, you might read it in the New International. I'm not so concerned about what translation you use to read the Bible as I am that when that you read it. And that small thing, you know, if you don't like reading, take a chapter a day. If you really don't like reading, take a half a chapter. If you really hate reading, I've met people who hate reading, they just don't like to read. The Bible is available in MP3 online for free. Get YouVersion. I think it has audio Bible in it for free. You can listen to it. Small things. Let me challenge you. Here's another small habit you can develop. I know this is teaching this morning. Another small habit. When you're on your way to work, you can listen to whatever happens to be on the radio. Or you can put on, I know now it's not so much CDs, I'm dating myself. But you can put on an MP3. You know, if you're on public transport, you can be like everybody else and have the earbuds in. You can listen to a worship song. And you get your mind on God in the middle of a crowd. And then when you go into work, you're not going into work feeling like, wow. You're going into work and you're thinking, wow, I've been listening to how God is with me. You know what that does? It reorients your mind. It's a small thing that turns into a big thing. Small things that become big things. You know, rather than listening to the latest about, you know, whatever popular, you can tell, I don't listen to much music, popular music today. I just don't. Because, you know, I like some country style music, but it was all about, you know, who was cheating on who and you know, whose dog was dying and, you know, I mean, that's what, You know, they said if you ran a country song backwards, he gets his truck back, his dog comes back to life, his wife comes back, everything's good. Well, I will tell you what you listen to musically impacts the way that you think. It affects your mood. And when you feed your mind small things, it may be a podcast, it may be a preaching podcast or an inspirational podcast, that just you're directing your thoughts differently. And I'll tell you what, when you're listening to in your earbuds and you're on your way to work or you've got it in your car and you're listening to how God is good, and you go into work and you've been feeding your mind, God is good, God is good, God is good, all the time, God is good, and you go into work, I'll tell you, that small thing makes a difference in the way your day's going to go. Small things. I've got to close here, so come back to the music if you would. I want to ask you, I want to just take a moment before we sing, before we do anything, I want to just take a moment to ask you, what is your small thing? I want you to take a moment before we gather for a prayer time or anything like that. I want you to think about your life. And what is the small thing? And this is a little different. We're going to pray in just a moment about this. I want you just to ask the Lord about this. Lord, what is that one thing? You know, I didn't get to this morning, but the Bible talks a lot about one thing. So what is that one thing that you want to do, or that one thing you want to inspire, or that one thing that you want to challenge me about in my life today? And it may be one word. It may be, or two words, it may be have faith. It may be start praying. It may be get baptized. It may be patience. It may be trust rather than fear. One thing. You know, for some of you who are married, that one word could be romance. Maybe you've just got so accustomed to marriage that you just don't. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know what? If you romance them to get them, you better romance them going on. Hey, am I? I think that's Bible, by the way. You know, it may be that's, you say, well, you know, my marriage, I just think, you know, could, well, you can't do anything, you can't change somebody else, you can change you. So it may be romance, or it may be kindness. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray. I know this is different to end a message, but this is personal. This is personal. Small thing. One thing. What is it in your life? We're going to bow our heads. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I believe today that you're speaking into hearts and you're speaking into lives here right now. Lord, sometimes we try to do the big things and, Lord, we feel intimidated or we fail. But Lord, today I pray that your Spirit would challenge each person here for a small thing. Lord, I pray that you would speak. Lord, you're able to, Lord, just plant a word. Lord, it may be in our life of faith. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that word's repent. It may be baptism. It may be to receive your Spirit. But Lord, it may be today truth. Lord, it may be kindness, it may be patience, maybe love. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that you'll speak to us as individuals right now. And Lord, that we not only will hear that word, but or see that word in our lives, but Lord, that we'll act on that word going forward. And I pray that you will challenge us with that. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to read one more scripture just before we sing. There's a key. Going back to verse number 6, here's what he said. This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. I feel like this is what the Lord says to believers at West Island. It's not by force, nor by strength, but by my Spirit. By my Spirit. Now, I want you to take that, whatever that thought, that word was, and I believe God's spoken here this morning already. We usually don't pray twice, but we are today. I want you to pray with me, God, let this not just be me, let this be, I'm depending on you. Let this be a God thing that takes place. Would you join with me right now, Jesus? As we stand here today, and Lord, you have already spoken, and you've already been at work, and Lord, I thank you for that. But today, Lord, we commit ourselves to release into your hands. Lord, to depend on your Spirit at work within our lives, and we will be your willing partners. Lord, in whatever that word, whatever that one thing is, Lord, that we will be willing partners with you to see it happen. Lord, I pray for the transformation that brings. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing. We're going to gather around the altar for prayer. And if you need power within your life, if you need God's Spirit and presence with, you need God's Spirit and presence with, you need God's Spirit and presence with, you need God's Spirit and presence.